Now it's my privilege to have Pastor John come up and preach to us this morning again. Truly a special, special man, gifted by the Lord, and truly been gifted in special ways. And he's used those gifts to serve others, glorify the Lord, and build his kingdom.
Good morning. Is my microphone on? Everybody can hear me? It's great to be with you this morning. Alicia and the kids say hello and send their love. She had a commitment at church this morning, and so they can't be here with us. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. I invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Mark chapter 10. And is the text printed in our bulletin? No, it's on page 846 in your pew Bibles. It's a short text today. And it's one that we're going to spend some time in together. So I invite you to turn again in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, page 846. Hear now God's word, starting in verse 13. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Let's pray. Our gracious God and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this, your word. Lord, we thank you that you are in the business of drawing men and women, boys and girls, into your kingdom, that they might be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. So, Father, would we have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts that would turn and understand this day, this amazing message for your children. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let me get right to the chase here. Who has seen the movie Uncle Buck? Raise your hands. Can we get a show of hands? It's an old one, but it's on every year. Right? I mean, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, every old movie's on. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. It's A Wonderful Life or Uncle Buck or Home Alone. They're all on. Everything's on. And in particular, I think that one's like always on Thanksgiving. Right? So a few hands. For those of you who haven't seen it, here's the plot line. John Candy, you remember the late John Candy? All right, well, he is Uncle Buck, and what happens is his brother and his brother's wife, they have to go out of town, like, really short notice, overnight, right? And they have no one else that they can leave their kids with except Uncle Buck. A lot of families have an Uncle Buck. My family has three Uncle Bucks. My mom's brothers are all Uncle Bucks, I think. And so they have no choice. Like, he has to come over in the middle of the night because one of the parents is really sick, and they have to get out of town to go tend to their parents, and so Uncle Buck comes. And he's a terribly irresponsible middle-aged man, without a whole lot going for him in many ways, but you get to see kind of his transformation in the movie. Well, when the kids wake up the next morning, the oldest daughter is very resentful, you know, because she's 15, 16, you know. And I mean, Hollywood's always so unrealistic, right? I mean, they actually had the gall to portray a teenager like they know everything. And we all know that that's not what teenagers are like at all. And then there are two younger children, a boy and a girl. And the boy, his name is Miles, and he's played by Macaulay Culkin. Right? And this is pre-Home Alone. This may be his very first movie. So Miles comes down, and he wants to have a conversation with Uncle Buck. He has a few questions for Uncle Buck, and here are those questions, right? So Miles starts off. Kids like to ask questions, don't they? They ask a lot of questions. Miles starts off, "Where do you live?" Buck says, "In the city." "You have a house?" "Apartment." "Own or rent?" "Rent." "What do you do for a living?" "Lots of things." "Where's your office?" "I don't have one." "How come?" "I don't need one." "Where's your wife?" "Don't have one." "How come?" "It's a long story." You have kids? No, I don't. How come? It's an even longer story. Are you my dad's brother? Buck pauses. What's your record for consecutive questions asked? 38. I'm your dad's brother, all right. Miles, you have much more hair in your nose than my dad. Buck, how nice of you to notice. Miles, I'm a kid. That's my job, right? Question after question. Kids are curious, aren't they? They have tons of questions. If you've been a parent, if you've been around little children, then you know they have lots and lots and lots of questions, and they persist in their questions, and they come. And you also know if you spend any time around children that it doesn't take too long before you run out of answers. Okay? They got lots of questions, and you don't have all the answers. And it's very humbling, is it not? When they keep coming and asking question after question, and you realize you don't know all the answers. And parents, and any of you who tend to little ones, you're more than sufficient to raise these little ones, even though you don't have all the answers. And you're more than sufficient, especially if you know the one who does. If you can take them to the Lord Jesus Christ, this one we see in our text who's inviting the little children to come to him. So when we run out of answers, guess where we got to take these little ones? We got to take them to the throne of grace. We have to take them to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, when we come into our text today in Mark chapter 10, if we scoot up just a couple verses in verse 10, we see in the house, the disciples are asking him again about this matter, right? Here's the disciples there with Jesus. And they're asking questions. They're asking about the things he's been talking about because he's been teaching about marriage. And he's in a house. So I thought the best way for us, because the disciples are asking questions and we've got questions and we know our kids have questions, asking questions is one of the best ways to learn, isn't it? So I think we're going to ask some questions of this text. Right? We're going to come as God's children, as God's family, and ask some questions of this text. And we're going to seek out those answers together. So we jump in. It's Mark chapter 10. We know from the previous verses they're in the region of Judea, which I think is going to be significant, right? They're beyond the Jordan, right? And we learn from verse 10 they're in a house, right? And they're discussing marriage, and perhaps it just makes sense. It goes on to talk about marriage and to talking about children, oftentimes very related. And so we're going to ask a lot of questions today. Verse 13, and they were bringing children. Who are these people bringing all these children? Who are these people? Who are the they? Well, let's pause. The they there, I think would be safe to assume, or there's a lot of parents. Now, we can't assume, and I can kind of see this one where you guys can't, unless you studied the Greek a little bit. It's not just moms, right? Because the pronoun is in the masculine, right? And when you use the masculine pronoun, you're implying both men and women are bringing these children. So it's not just moms, but it's probably parents, okay? It's probably moms, it's probably dad. But I don't think we need to understand it's exclusively moms and dads. Could be aunts, uncles, could be grandparents, could be other relatives, could be lots of people bringing these little children to Jesus. But one assumption that I think is pretty safe to make is that the preponderance of them are probably Jewish. Okay? And why do I say that? Well, we're not up in the north in Galilee, right, where a lot of Gentiles lived. And we're not in Samaria. We're in Judea, where predominantly Jewish people lived. Not many non-Jewish people lived in Judea in first century Palestine. So here's our they. They're probably a lot of parents, moms and dads, probably some aunts, uncles, grandparents, could be even older siblings if they're significantly older, right? They are bringing people, and they're probably Jewish, they're bringing these children to Jesus. Now, they're bringing children. How old are these children? Does the text give us any hints? Well, it just says children. So they're probably, you know, at least if we just read Mark, we're going to learn a little lesson here. They're probably 12 and under. You know, that'd be the way you'd use the word children back then, probably 12 and under. Because come, you know, and raise your hand if you're 12 and under in here. Anyone 12 and under? Got a few 12 and unders. Okay, a few 12 and unders. Because guess what? boys and girls, come 13 back then, guys, you're heading off to learn the trade, right? You're done with most of your schooling. You're going to go learn a trade, probably what your dad does. And you're going to do that for about 5-6 years so that you can then be ready to be married, right? So that you can then be ready to provide for a family and have a job and a stable income and all those things. Girls, okay, you're getting pretty close to marriage, right? Maybe even 12, 13 years old, right? So that's why I say children, like probably 12 years and under. And that's all we get from Mark. But here's the nice thing. This account is written 3 times in the Gospels. And different writers highlight different things. And if we know anything about Luke, we know that Luke was a Gentile, and he was a physician, right? And he was very scholarly. He was very learned, and he cared a lot about details. He even says in the beginning of his Gospel, he set forth to write an orderly account, and he researched lots of things and had conversations with eyewitnesses and looked at all the stories. And so Luke will actually give us a little more detail here. Here's what he says in Luke chapter 18. Now they were bringing even infants. Okay. Even infants. So here's the picture. Jewish moms, dads, like predominantly Jewish, probably mostly moms and dads, but others not excluded. And they're bringing these little infants to Jesus. Why? For what purpose? Mark's text is very simple. All he says here, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. Right? That he might touch them. And if you know your Bibles, you know the touch of Jesus can do some special things. And if you've been touched by him yourself, then you know the touch of Jesus can do some special things. But when we read some of the other accounts, like we go to Matthew 19, we see just a little bit more there. It says, the children were brought to him that he may lay his hands on them, okay, and pray. So here's the picture in this text. And it's a wonderful picture. And wait till we close out today to see just the beauty of this picture. These mostly parents, mostly Jewish, right, cause some could be not Jewish, and some may not be parents. Again, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, all that. They're bringing their little infants to Jesus, right, that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And if we've read our New Testaments, every time Jesus prays, who is he praying to? Oh, he's praying to his Father. He's crawling up in his Father's arms, and he's praying to his Father. And so I think we can assume that the Lord Jesus is praying, right, for these little ones to his Father and asking him to bless them. He's asking him to bless them. So this is what's going on in the text. And when we see all that, these tiny little ones being brought, we see these parents, right, and they're Jewish, and they're bringing their children to Jesus. Now, it was not uncommon in the first century for parents to take their children to a rabbi. Okay. Is Jesus a formal rabbi? Did Jesus go through all the training that rabbis went through? Did he go through rabbi school? Does he hold the rabbi? He's none of those things. So the fact that we see these Jewish people bringing their children, right, to Jesus, I think tells us something. That perhaps God's grace had somehow, in some way, touched them to the point where they were trusting Jesus, not only with themselves, but wanting their little children to know this one as well. Right? Now we get to the more challenging part. Verse 13, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. The disciples are rebuking the people who are bringing these little ones. And now that we've got the picture, we need to ask why. Why on earth would they be rebuking these predominantly Jewish parents bringing their little ones to Jesus to be blessed? And the picture we have, again, if they're in that house, and they may not have still been in that house, but they could be in the house. If they're still in that house, it's like parents are coming to the door, right? And they're just wanting to put these little infants up into Jesus' arms that he might pray over them and bless them. And the disciples are saying, no, get out of here. Like, we don't have time for that, right? Who knows what's going on in their heads exactly, but it is first century Palestine. So perhaps the disciples are thinking a few different things. Perhaps because it is first century Palestine, they'd fallen victim to the idea that children have very little value. After all, children had very little standing in society back then, and particularly these youngest ones. Perhaps they're thinking that the Lord Jesus is just too busy. He just has more important things to do. Perhaps they're just being very selfish, and they don't want to be bothered. Have you ever found yourself not wanting to be bothered by little children and all their needs and all their wants and all desires, and having to help them with all the things that they can't yet help themselves with? You might have felt that before. I think if we're honest, we've probably all felt that at one point. Perhaps there's not a man, woman who has ever existed that hasn't felt that. And I'm not saying it's a good thing, but we may have all experienced that. But let me tell you, there's one person who never felt that. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was never bothered by these little children. He was never too busy. He was never, let me hit us. Hopefully this didn't blow the belt. He was never, no one ever said to him, "Will you please get off your phone?" Right? "Will you just put that thing down?" Maybe some of your children have said that to you. Might have said that to me on occasion. The Lord Jesus Christ was never bothered by little children. And that explains his reaction. Because the disciples are trying to shoo these people away who just want to bring their children to Jesus to be blessed. And the text says what in verse 14? "But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant." He was hot. Okay? He was not happy. Right? For you younger children, indignant's a big word. He was angry. He was very upset. And this is what he will then go on to say. Right? And I don't know if you've read this text before, you're familiar with these words. You know, I try and look at these words here, and I just can't imagine. I imagine Jesus being very serious when he says these, and very stern. And he's really upset. And I know oftentimes when I'm just a little bit upset, okay, the tone can get harsh. I can get a little snarky. I can get a little sarcastic, right? But I can't picture these words that way. Maybe you can, I just can't see them that way. So he's really upset. Let's think about the grace of God as he speaks to these disciples in this way. Maybe you can see it, but I can't. "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." So he's very angry here, and out of love for these little ones, Jesus is going to say, and out of love for those who are bringing these little ones to him, right, "Let the children come to me." We probably expect that, don't we? I mean, that's the whole reason he's angry. We expect him to say that. But what we may not expect, and here's the question, who does he say the kingdom of God belongs to? To such as these infants. The kingdom of God belongs to them. It's theirs. Those infants in particular, and to such as those infants, that are all those who are like them. We'll have to tease that out, but he says the kingdom of God belongs to them. Need to tease that out a little bit. This kingdom of God, right? God's kingship, right, or his rule, belongs to them. This rule or reign that's recognized in the hearts of God's people, it's operative in the lives of his people. It affects their complete salvation. It builds up a church to the glory of God. It will one day bring in a new heavens and a new earth where there's no more pain, no more tears, no more suffering. All of those things not even will belong to them, but belong to them. To these very, very little and precious ones. This is what belongs to such as these children from our text. All the blessings of salvation belong to them, even those little ones. Granted, it wouldn't be realized, or it would be realized progressively, and it would be perfected in time, but he's saying, like, it's theirs. Right? It belongs to them. What does it mean then when our Lord goes on to verse 15? So he says, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Because if it's to such as these little children, we want to understand that a little bit more. Verse 15 says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter. Jesus is the king of the kingdom of God. And he's saying, these little ones belong to me. And because they belong to me, conversely, right, I belong to them, so they're mine. And I'm theirs. And by their union with me, everything that's mine is theirs. But what does it mean then to receive the kingdom of God like a child? Well, as one commentator said, it means accepting it with genuine, trustful simplicity, with unassuming humility. The translation for the little kiddos out there is it means receiving the kingdom of God like you receive a present on Christmas Day. You might have torn down those steps and open the very first thing that had your name on it, or maybe something that didn't even have your name on it, and you claimed it as your own. And you played with it like it was the most important thing in the world, because for those few minutes in your life, or a half hour, or an hour, or until you opened a better gift, it was. But this gift is not like that gift. This gift is a gift that's meant to be received with open hands and enjoyed every day. You know those, I don't even know what they're called, but they're like those little dolls that you open one and there's a smaller one inside. And then you open that one and there's a smaller one inside. It just keeps going and it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. This gift is kind of like the opposite of that, right? It starts off like the smallest little one and you open it up. Right, and then when you open up again, it's a little bigger, and it's a little fuller. And then you open up again, and there's more there that you haven't seen. You open it up again, and there's even more, and you're like, this gift of the kingdom of God is meant to be enjoyed every day of our lives. And opened up, and exercised, and used. Let me challenge you guys, right, all you kids. There were probably some gifts at Christmas this year that were wrapped, and you just decided not to open them. So I'm going to give you permission to go home today and open up those gifts that you just decided not to open. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy, right? Because that's never happened. In the history of all the known world, there has never been a present under a tree earmarked for a kid that they just let sit there. Right? It's never happened. And it never will. Right? This kingdom of God is the gift. It is the greatest gift. And it's just meant to be received with open hands, to be believed and trusted in. Does the kid care where that gift came from? And the kid will play with that thing probably until it breaks. And then what will they do? They'll go back to their parents and ask for another one. And you're fuming. You're like, I spent how much money on that thing? And you just broke it. But Just give me another one, Mom. Give me another one, Dad. Right, go get another one. You know, they talk to their father, they talk to their mother, and they say, right, I just want another one. And that's when we get bothered. Jesus, he doesn't get bothered like that. When any of his children come to him. So picture in your mind a little sign outside a store. It's on the windowsill. It's got a bunch of gold coins. They're just stacked up there. It says, please take one. I see your face already. I see your face already. And folks walk by and they look and they're like, oh, they can't catch me. Right? Got to be a catch. Right? Too good to be true. Cynical. Skeptical, right? So adults walk past all day long. And it's the end of the day. The shop owner's about to close up. And a little child just comes by. Reads the sign. Free. Take one. Grabs a piece of gold, walks along their merry way. Isn't that like children? And isn't that like us? Isn't that like us? Receiving the kingdom of God like a child is taking God at face value for all the promises that are in his word. And opening them, and opening them again and again and again, and learning more about his grace and his mercy and his love poured out for us, and realizing that he has chosen us and that he's called us and that he's given us new life. We've been born again in him. He's justified us. He's declared us righteous in his sight. He's adopted us as his very sons and daughters. He's remaking us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he won't let go of us till he's done. One day, just like Job said, we're going to see him face to face. We're going to be with him forever. This is the kingdom of God. This is what's being offered to you today. It's a present that never gets old. You can open it every morning. You can open it morning, noon, and night. It's always there waiting for you. The very kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King himself. Are you going to walk by it? Like all those folks who walk by that piece of gold in our little tale. Sad, right? But for those who would walk by the kingdom of God, oh, it's not just sad. It's tragic. It's tragic. We're not talking about a little piece of gold here. We're talking about eternal life and people passing it by and saying it's too good to be true. Skeptical, cynical, there's strings attached. I don't think I can believe that. Well, I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to beg you. I'm here to plead with you to believe it, because it's true. The kingdom of God is for all of God's children, and he offers it to you today. Our text closes with a beautiful scene, and I want to read a passage from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 before we go here. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Just listen to this for a moment. I'll pull it up here. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who do you think that's talking about? And what do we see here in our text? Verse 16. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. How many infants? I don't know. But it's plural. It's at least two. I think it's more than that. If I was a betting man, I'd put money. It's more than that. All the gospel writers included this. They wanted to make it a point to know that all these people were bringing their little ones to Jesus. And Jesus is tenderly taking them in his arms. One by one, receiving them from whoever brought them, most likely their parents, and praying over them, holding them, touching them, asking his Father to bless them. And then he passes them back to the parents. And he takes another child. And he does the same thing. And he does it again. And again. And again. This is the picture in our text. And here's our last question. Who does the Lord Jesus Christ always have time for? He always has time for his covenant children, regardless of their age. They could be these little infants that someone bringing in faith. They could be 95 years old. The Lord Jesus Christ always has time for the Father's covenant children. The line is never too long. He never runs out of time. He never runs out of love. He takes them in his arms and he blesses them. Christ desires to bless his children. Are you his child? Are you his child, but you've never confessed faith in him, turned from your sins, and professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? He's calling you today to come. Are you his child that just happens to be here today, but perhaps hasn't been walking with him? As Spurgeon once said, you started off with a dusty Bible and ended up with some filthy garments. He's telling you to come. Have you been walking with him every day? He wants you to come again. To come to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be blessed. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to come to his table where we're moving towards. Christ desires to bless his children, his covenant children, every single one of them, regardless of their age. Can we go to him as his children, as the body of Christ, and be blessed? And can we take our little ones with us as we go all the days of our lives that he might bless them too? This is the call of God upon your life today. This is what God is asking you to do. Will you come like a little child to the Lord Jesus Christ and be blessed? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you that you have been pleased to call us your children. Father, that we can climb up into your arms at any time and to know that we are held by you. Lord, would this love be poured out upon our hearts this day as we hear your word, as we sing praises to you, as we offer prayers to you, Lord, as we meet with you at your table. Lord, would your children come, and would we be blessed for our coming? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.